The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. It's day two of the Cheltenham Festival. Another good day to look forward to the Queen Mother Champion Chase being the feature race on the Wednesday. We've also got Huntingdon and Southwell alongside that on Wednesday afternoon. And we'll finish the day with all weather action at Kempton. Dave Kellner, John Budden and James Millman will be live with you from 12:30 p.m. But right now my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. By the time this goes out, we'll already have had the first day of the Cheltenham Festival, Mick. But unfortunately, we don't know the results yet.
Sadly.
So we can't reflect on them. But a good day coming up on Wednesday as well, isn't there? Of course.
Goodness me, how tough is day two?
It is. It's very tricky. You were out in the office going through the form, and it was before the decks were finalised, and some of them just looked impossible, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I'm not much wiser since I've seen the final runners. In fact, it's even more confusing.
Right. Well, we're going to go through all seven races in some shape or form. We'll spend more time on the Grade 1 contests. And the first race is a Grade 1, the 130. We start with the Neptune, which is a Grade 1 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. The market headed by Nichols Canyon, who's 100-30. 4-1 for Outlander. Windsor Park is 9-2. Parlour Games is 5-1. Sixes for Vita de Rock. Auto Abkeo is 8s and 10s or bigger for the others.
Yeah, interesting stats race this. Four of the last five winners started their career in Irish point-to-points, which sort of rules out Nichols Canyon, doesn't it? It was a graduate from the flat, if you like, if that stats to be believed. And 14 of the last 16 winners, which is even more of a killer stat, were National Hump Red.
Right.
So, flatties are a bit of slight disadvantage, aren't they?
So that rules out Nichols Canyon and probably Parlour Games as well, doesn't it? So.
And do we include Windsor Park in that or not? Because I think he's got, he won on the flat in Galway, didn't he? But I'm not sure about him. I think we can leave him on the fence because I think he's got outstanding claims, mainly because the better ground is going to help him to travel better and help him to jump better. He was having difficulty early on in his hurdling career, jumping out of the bottomless ground he was racing on in Ireland. And he did run well behind Nichols Canyon in the Deloitte. Walsh should have been up for grand larceny that day because he stole that from the front. He kicked on while the others were all looking at each other. And Windsor Park got himself a little bit in a bad position, having not jumped as well as he can. I'm just putting that down to the ground.
Yeah.
And Hardy Eustace finished second in the Deloitte before he came on to win this, before, of course, he won the jumping hurdle as well. So it's not a bad place to finish in the Deloitte. And I do think that Windsor Park will be a much different proposition on better ground. And I think he'll come out the best of the Irish.
Okay.
The two domestic challengers are Ordo Ab Chow, who won the sort of Neptune trial, if you like, here at Cheltenham, the Grade 2 in January, beating the hot favourite Value at Risk. Creditable performance. He marked him that day as a festival contender, and they've taken the hint, haven't they, and haven't run him since. So he's got to be very much respected, as has Beast of Burden. Rebecca Curtis trains. Paul Tanner was mightily impressed with this horse when he rode him to win at Bangor. Mightily impressed.
Right.
He beat Mendip Express, who actually runs in the handicap chase on day one. Indirectly, might give that form a bit of a boost. I know they're completely different spheres, but it just was the way that Townham was raving about him, about this horse, and he was desperate to get on him at the festival.
Yeah. Well, he did run away with it, didn't he, to be fair? He beat Mendip Express by 11 lengths that day.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and he must have given the jockey a really good feel throughout the race, because he came, you know, he was in superlatives about him. And, you know, when you think of the number of good horses he gets on at Mullins's, it's some compliment, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'm a great fan of Windsor Park, but and Order Chow, but I think I'm going to stay with Beast of Burden. I've put him in our daily competition at work, so I'll have to stay with him. But I do respect the chances of those other two, and I haven't even mentioned Vita De Rocco, whose form's tied up closely with quite a few of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're a decent horse representing Nicky Henson, of course. So. Yeah, good race, good Neptune. Only 10 runners, smallish field, 15 run last year when Fahim won it, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not lacking in quality, is it?
No, it was very good. And a 10-to-1 shot there for Mick then in the shape of Beast of Burden. The second race on the Wednesday is the 205, which is the RSA Chase, which is a grade one over the extended 3 miles. The market headed by Don Poli, who's 13-to-8. King's Palace is 7-to-2. The Young Master, 5s. 6-to-1 for Southfield Theatre. If in doubt, is 8s and 12s or bigger for the others. Don Poli's pretty short now, Mick, at the top of the market. Do you see him justifying that price tag?
Yeah. Sadly, he's very short, but I do think he's the most likely winner. He is unbeaten in 2 over fences. He was a 153 rated hurdler. He won the Martin Pipe last year under Mikey Fogarty off 1-4-3. And four of the last 5 winners of this contested the Albert Bartlett's, but I'm going to forgive him that, because he couldn't contest the Albert Bartlett if he was running the Martin Pipe, could he? So we'll let him off of that one. And Irish bred horses, which he is, have won 16 of the last 18 runnings of this. So he's got plenty going for him. Slight concern is that none of the last 15 winners had run less than 3 times over fences,
yeah,
which is a slight concern. But, you know, it might mean something, it might mean nothing. But he is, I think, I'm sure he's far and away the most likely winner of this, I think. I mean, King's Palace has done very little wrong. He looks, and they think that there's going to be more to come from him. It just depends, I suppose, if he gets a soft lead or not, isn't he? He'll just like to bully them from the front, doesn't he?
Mm.
And he might just get taken on. The Young Master, there was talk about him going elsewhere, wasn't there? But he's ended up here. He's a bit of an enigma, isn't he? He started off life very... well, it was an all... Isn't he one at all what for? All weather flat tracks or something like that? Something ridiculously...
Yeah, he started at Wolverhampton and Kempton and...
Yeah,
Lingfield and all of them.
Well, forgive him, Chelmsford, because he'd already become a jumper by then.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a freakish enigma, isn't he, the Young Master? But definitely not to be underestimated with Geraghty on board. The consistent Southfield Theatre, another one to consider. It's got a solid look about it, hasn't it? The RSA. I think Don Poli will win it. I wouldn't be surprised if Wounded Warrior made his presence felt in it as well. He had a few options, and he's ended up here. But I do think, barring accidents, Don Poli is going to be the one to beat, despite that slightly concerning stat, only having the 2 runs over fences. Mm. But he did look as though his technique was well-honed, didn't it?
Yeah, he's been very impressive so far. So Don Poli, the selection for Mick then in the RSA. The 240 is the third race on the card. The Coral Cup, which is a grade 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and five furlongs.
You'll want 20 minutes on this, do you, Mark?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to name them all probably would take that long.
Absolutely.
El Pity Swise, 7-to-1 at the top of the market. 9-to-1 for Activial. Bears Affair, 14s with Unna 2. Goodwood Mirage, 14s as well. Hisabart, another in there at 14s. It's 16s for Volney de Tai, Blackmail, Zabana, and Marinero. 20-to-1 or bigger prices for the others. And a little bit of a nibble on a few of these at bigger odds. Tagliatelle is 25s into 20s. Rolling Star and Livius both cut from 40s into 33s.
Yeah.
What do you make of it, Mick?
Well, it's just, where do you start? I think one of the key races for this in recent years has been the Betfair Hurdle. And Activia ran really well in that race. And I've landed on him. I was with me not being in tomorrow, I was doing tomorrow's as well as prepping up for today. And I wanted to get my selections in for Wednesday. And I was desperately waiting for the decks to come through so I could get cracking on it. But I'd already put him on the shortlist, hoping that he was jocked up, so it was every chance he was going to run. He's been lightly raced, kept back now since the Betfair Hurdle for this, and I think he'll, he could well give Harry Fry another big winner here with Noel Filly on board. He's got a nice, lightly raced profile, and he fits many of the trends. Not the one fit trend he doesn't fit is that 15 of the last 20 winners had won earlier in the season. Well, he hasn't. He's only run those twice when he's both solid placed efforts, but they haven't over-raced him as if they were sort of eyeing up a spring campaign, haven't they? So I'm not going to let that put me off. The stat I'm really keen on is the Betfair Hurdle form pointers to this, and I hope I've dropped on the right one, but it is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? And Whisper won it last year, of course, for Nicky Henderson, 14-1, 28 to run, 26 are declared to run for this year's renewal. But dear me, you can have a short list of 10 or 11, still not come up with it. But anyway, I've ended up on Activial for what it's worth.
Okay, Activial then in what is one of the more open races of the festival. The 320 is the feature race on the second day. It's the Queen Mother Champion Chase, a grade one over 2 miles, and an intriguing renewal of the Champion Chase this year. We've got Sprinter Sakura at the top of the market at 5-2. Is he the same animals? Cider Grugy, the reigning champion, is 3-1. Dodging Bullets, probably the best 2-miler of this year, is 5-1. 11-2 for Champagne Fever. Mr. Mole, who'd have thought he'd have been in the Champion Chase picture at any point, is 8-1. 16s for Simply Ned, and 25s or bigger for the others. It's a really intriguing renewal, isn't it, Mick, this year?
It is. It is. And well, I'm very concerned about Sprinter Sakura, whether he can come back after his well-documented heart problems. In my experience with horses, it isn't just the health factor; it's the mental factor as well.
Yeah.
Going through that pain barrier, that would certainly worry me. I couldn't be backing him. I'd love to see him win it. Don't get me wrong, but I just couldn't be backing him. And our job here is to try and. It's to try and find the winner, isn't it? It's just his health issues would put me off. And I wasn't totally convinced by Cider Grugy either, although I was working with Luke the other day, who's got close attachments to the Gary Moore yard, and he was very bullish about his chances. I thought the first half of that Chepstow race, he was remembering Newbury.
Yeah.
Second half, he looked as if he was enjoying himself a bit better, and he was more like the old Cider Grugy. You know, and there's nothing wrong with bringing strong, solid handicap form into a grade one like this. It's not often done, but their hand was forced, if you like, from a timing point of view. But I just feel, I don't know whether he had all those foot problems which you hadn't heard about and all the rest of it. You just wonder, don't you?
Mm.
The last thing you need going into a championship race at the festival is prep problems, and and that just would definitely concern.
Apparently, on his return at Newbury, he'd not had the cortisone injections in his hoofs,
right?
And then before Chepstow, he had, and you could see the difference. As soon as he asked him to quicken at Chepstow, he was more like his old self. So, if they've done it again and they're prepared right this time, then I don't know if that's necessarily as much of a problem as it could have been.
Yeah, but it's still a concern in a race like that, isn't it? Well, they're going to go flat out, aren't they, from start to finish, especially with special tiara. In the contest, he'll make sure there's no hanging about. I do think he might take some pegging back as well, Special TR. Certainly outrun his price. What price is he, about 25-1 or something?
Let's have a quick look. Special TR is 25,
I've long fancied Champagne Fever if there is. I mean, we know he loves the festival.
Yeah.
Should have probably, unlucky not to have won the Arkle as well as the Supreme. And got back on track last time out. Didn't travel over very well, I've heard.
Is that right?
So we'll have to see what he looks like on the day. But I think with Specialty R in the race, though, Ruby will be able to get a nice toe into the race off and get him into a nice rhythm without sort of having to force his own pace. He's got a natural pacemaker there in front of him. And if he's none the worse for having... I don't think it's anything serious. I think he just banged his head in the box or something like that and cut some bruises and half a closed eye or something like that. But nothing sort of life-threatening or anything. And he'd probably shaken it off by Wednesday afternoon. So... there's just that to take on board. The other one I wanted to mention was, you asked me about dodging bullets. I just think, I know he's won all the right prep races, etc., but is he a better horse that way around? His record over jumps right-handed is 2-3-1-1-1-1, where he's just won one of his last seven. Going this way around,
right? Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that would just worry me. I know he's a different horse since Paul Nicholls trained his training regime. Seems to have toughened him up a bit, doesn't it?
Mm.
But I've still got that niggle at the back of my mind that he might be better going the other way around. I know he brings all. He's probably the best 2 mile chaser around. On form at the moment, winning all the right prep races, but is he going to be the same horse around Cheltenham? We're not getting any nearer, really, are we? With I'm picking holes in every one of them, aren't I?
That's why it's so intriguing this year, isn't it?
It is.
There's no solid standout you can, you know, absolutely rely on them because everything's got a bit of a question mark about it.
Yeah, I know Nicky Richards is has taken all the precautions. Simply, I think he's had him in Newmarket for a month to make sure that he wasn't held up in the hills of Cumbria when they had all the snow, etc.
Yeah.
He needs to find probably £7 to £10 from somewhere, or the others to run £7 to £10 below their best, which is not.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, may not be impossible. Mr. Moll, is he the poacher turned gamekeeper? I just don't know, Mark.
It's crazy, isn't it? You asked me 4 months ago about Mr. Morley and Champion Chase. I'd have laughed at you.
Yeah.
But now he's got very solid, credible form of late. It's a good example of how Paul Nicholls turns these chasers around, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. So, in conclusion, if I thought Champagne Fever, if he doesn't turn up in the paddock with a black eye, I think he'd be the selection, and I'd just have a little fun saver each way on Special Tiara, who might just get into a rhythm out there and might just take some pegging back. But it's a fascinating renewal, isn't it?
It is. Very, very intriguing renewal. The 4 o'clock we best move on is the next race. This is the cross-country chase, which is over 3 miles and 7 furlongs on the cross-country course. Any currency is 9-2. Cyclone 6s with Duke of Lucca. Tutankhamon is 7s, 9s for quantitative easing and 10s are bigger for the others. And for once, there's no Balthazar King in here, mate.
No, he's not, is he? But the Hubs team is still represented by Duke of Lucca, who's did unseat in this. Was it last year? Over these fences last time, wasn't it? Finished 5th last year, if I remember.
He finished 4th last year. And unseated.
Behind his stable companion.
Yeah.
But he did unseat over these fences last time. I don't know what. I think he got unsighted or something because he normally jumps on safely. I think this could be his year, you know.
Hmm.
With this being a handicap, the better horses can't dominate it with it being a handicap. And I think he's got a good chance. As any, all the usual suspects are there, aren't they? Any currency, Uncle Junior, Cyclonge. A nice, interesting couple of French raiders, Tutankhamon. And Nuage Donnet, they're adding a bit of international flavour to the race. But better the devil you know for me. Now I'm going to stay with Duke of Lucca.
Okay, Duke of Lucca for Mick in the cross country. The 4:40 is the Fred Winter juvenile handicap hurdle, grade 3 as well, over the extended 2 miles. The market headed by Hostile Fire, who's at 8-1, 10-1 for All Yours and Zarib. Arabian Revolution is 12s, 14s for Box Office, 16s for Golden Doyen, and Gwenkili Burbas. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it, but never mind. The St. James 16s with Thunderzone and Unanimite and Starkitect and Bruvriel and a whole host of others. It's wide open, isn't it, Mick? Because the betting suggests 8-1 there, but 8-1 the field.
17 of the last 28 win or placed horses in the Fred Winter were French bred, so French imports,
yep,
which helped me to narrow it down. And I think the cut-off point doesn't apply because there's only one race. I think 140, it's difficult to win it over 140. Well, Golden Doyen is 141, so we haven't got that cut-off point to worry about. I've sort of, using my old Sherlock Holmes method, I've ended up with... I was wondering if one of JP's, but John, AP doesn't ride it, and it's called the St. James. Paul Carberry's been booked to ride him, which is an interesting jockey booking. AP rides Box Office for the same owner and trainer. Mm-hmm. The St. James, a decent forming old toy before he came over here, and... interesting enough, they've gone for the Hood for the first time. Now, Hood's first time had a great record at last year's festival. Mm. And I thought that was intriguing that they've done that with him. Perfectly satisfactory run at Sandown when the stable couldn't buy a winner in terrible ground. And I just think in what looks a wide open as ever renewal of the Fred Winter, he'd give us a run for our money. I'm not too disappointed that McCoy has jumped ship to Box Office. I mean, they both actually have similar profiles. They're both French breds, aren't they? And, you know, they're both in better form now. And, well, the Box Office certainly is. And I can see why AP's going to ride him, but I don't think that makes the St. James a no-chancer. I could have easily gone either way. In fact, I might well on the day ditch them. Just to,
yeah, you probably have to now, wouldn't you? Because you'd kick
absolutely
yourself if the one.
Well, they're similar prices, aren't they?
Yeah, 16s and 14s.
Yeah, so there you are. So on the day, that's what I'll probably do. So we'll leave it to Mr. McManus. Shall we?
Okay. The last race is the 5:15. We finish with the Champion Bumper, Grade 1 standard open national hunt flat race. It's over 2 miles, and the market headed by Bordini and Moonracer, who are both 7-1. It's 10s for Pile on the Pressure. Super Sunday is 12s with Vigil, 14-1 for Encore de Tour, and General Principle and Wait for Me, and then 16s or bigger for the others. Send us out with a winner, Mick.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I'm going with Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Smullen kept the faith with him last year in this. Not many horses running the Cheltenham Bumper twice, Mark.
I don't know. It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, after he finished fifth in it last year behind his stable companion Silver Concord,
yep.
Dermot put him away, brought him out Leopardstown Christmas, and I thought he was mightily impressive under young Finbar Maguire to beat a hot pot of... Willie Mullins's that day, showed a really good turn of foot and then a good attitude when the Mullins horse re-rallied back at him. And Smullen back for more. I think he's determined for Smullen to win the Cheltenham Bumper on this horse, don't you?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was after 292 days off since he'd finished fifth in the Cheltenham Bumper. I think that was the plan. I think they've had a plan. Smullen has said to the boss, keep him back for next year. Don't win one with him until he's eligible. He can still be eligible to go. Mm. And so here he is, back for more. So I'm going to wait and see how he looks on the day. And I'm hoping for a big run from him.
Yeah, the fact that he's been at the festival before is almost, you know, must play into...
Well, you see, because they won't have, well, none of them will have the festival.
That's what I mean.
The festival factor, yeah. in which is such a significant factor all through the meeting, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to be the only one that's been there and experienced it before.
Absolutely.
It's got to play into your favour, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and I think it's an amazing prize.
Mm, very good.
He was much shorter last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was favourite, wasn't he?
I think he went off favourite, yeah. I'll double check. Vigil last year went off 5-1 favourite for the bumper.
Well, there you are.
Mm.
And, well, you've got the usual Willie Mullins suspects. Bordini being short price favourite for the two wins, But he beat Small Fields in bumpers in Nace. No, not Nace. It was Navan, wasn't it? Navan and Punchestown. Only beat a handful of runners in both of them, didn't he? So you wouldn't know about what he's actually achieved. And Yanworth, AP rides that for Alan King. It's one of JP's. Tasted defeat for the first time at Ascot last time, but I think the key the thing that day was he pulled too hard for his own good in heavy ground and paid the price close home. So I wouldn't knock him too much for that, but I'm sure it'll be a decent prospect for this. But I'm quite content to leave it to Vigil, because I can just see Pat saying to the boss, "I should have won that, boss. Can we save him for next year?"
Okay. Interesting stuff. I told a lie, by the way. 5-1 second favourite behind Shane Till, who went off market leader for Willie Mullins, but still well backed, wasn't he?
So. He was. So and
12-1 this year.
So. Here he is a year older with the benefit of the previous visit behind him, and he's double the price. You can't really work that one out, can you?
What's your best bet then of the day for tomorrow, Mick? I know it's a tricky one, but
on the day,
yeah.
Now then, he's going to be short, isn't he? But I'd have to say Don Pauly.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it Wednesday.
I'm sure I will. Be a roller coaster ride, but I'm sure we'll enjoy it either way.
Yeah, good stuff. It's a tricky old day on that Wednesday, but you'll hear the action on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:30 PM. Dave Kellner, Lord John Budden and James Millman will be in the studio. We've got all of the action from day two of the Cheltenham Festival, as well as Huntingdon, Southwell and Kempton. So do tune in for all of that. It should be another great day. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.